War Stories by David Herenry. Hector came back from the war to drink and to give the ghost of Davy away. "I should re-up," he said, more than once. "I got a couple of tours left in me. Hell, I spent so much time in Afghanistan, I barely got to see Iraq. It's just, you know, the alcohol is shit. No wonder those fucking ragheads can't handle their problems." April brought him another Coors. Hector had picked a campus bar full of drunk college kids in expensive tennis shoes. Their noise and closeness made April feel tight and old. "I skinned a rat alive once," said Hector. "Did I tell you that story?" "No," April lied. "Sir Rodriguez had this rat," Hector began. "Have I told you about Rodriguez? He was that fat weirdo who always writing porn stories and reading them out loud." "Yeah," said April. Sweat stuck her bangs to her forehead. "I remember." "So this rat lived in the tent with us. Rodriguez gave it food and shit. So it got pretty friendly. He could hold it. Got fat, too. Anyway, this one day, Noonamaker, the guy who went to Catholic school, all boys Catholic school. Maybe that's the reason he was such a fag. Anyway, it turned into this big fight because some of the guys liked Rodriguez and his stupid rat and some didn't. Noonamaker was chasing the rat, and these guys were trying to stop him like a goddamn cartoon. So eventually this rat gets stomped on right next to my bunk. I pick it up to throw it away, but the little fucker's still alive. Parts of the inside were on the outside, and I wondered what the whole thing looked like, you know, without the skin. Hector was yelling now over the music. So I skinned off a little, and you know what? It's pretty easy. So then I did the rest, and eventually the rat stopped squeaking, and then it was less bad. Just so small, though. April braced herself for the ending. Hector took a long pull of beer. "Sometimes when I look at people, I wonder how they'd look like without their skin. Not so much with men, that's kind of gay." Hector stared at her. She didn't want to know whether he'd pictured her without her skin. "Isn't Rodriguez the one who wrote poetry?" she asked instead.
"Yeah."
Hector sounded surprised. "He wrote porn and poetry. We gave him a lot of shit for both, but I think I like the poetry better." April remembered Rodriguez's poetry better than almost anything else from Hector's rare missives from Afghanistan. "I want to write to you a poem by myself," he wrote. "But there's no fucking thing worth writing about out here. I don't know how Rodriguez does it. Want to go for a smoke?" April carried her beer out to the stoop, blocking the entrance to the bar. They passed the cigarette back and forth, half blinded by the streetlights. "You still doing good in school?"
"I'm doing okay."
"Are you still at Worcester?"
"No."
She had told him this. "I transferred to Columbus State."
"You still studying theater?"
"No."
She had told him this too. "Technical communication?"
"Oh, that's good. You know, having a degree in something that's useful."
He sighed. "I still think about re-upping." Usually that was a threat, but tonight it sounded sincere. "I feel like I belong better there than I belong here." April stretched her legs out onto the sidewalk. A man in a baseball cap flipped her off. "Maybe I'd belong better there?"
Hector laughed. "You wouldn't." "I shot some puppies in the head once," began another one of Hector's stories.
They were curled up perfectly in the sheets, and April wanted to cover his mouth until he'd swallow the story. "We were on patrol." Hector shifted and moved so that her head was off his chest, taking cover behind this wall. "Do we have to do this?" April asked. She felt so calm in bed with him. "Do what? Do I have to hear this now? Can't you wait till we're drinking again?" Hector moved to the kitchen. "No," said April, I don't want to start drinking at 10 a.m. Hector meandered around the bed, looking for his pants. 10 a.m., he said slowly. "It's a fantastic time to start drinking. Possibly the only time to start drinking. Unless you have to get up even earlier." April couldn't tell if he was joking. "Drinking," he continued, "is the only way to make Davy seem reasonable.
And if you start too late in the day, it might not work. I gotta study, she said, untangling her legs from the sheets. Yeah, right, Hector snapped his belt around his waist. Like you ever study for anything on a Saturday. It's a big test, she hustled on her shirt. You could handle some of this. He blocked the doorway. Doesn't have to be all on me. April didn't know if he meant Davy or the stories. I'll see you later, she said, waiting for him to let her through. For half a breath, she thought she saw Davy staring over his shoulder. Her mother was sitting in the kitchen when she got home, drinking coffee and watching the early show on a little television tucked among the appliances on the counter. Have a good night, her mother asked. I was with Hector. Ah, her mother put her coffee on the table. Is he in counseling yet? No. Ah. She tapped her long fingernails along the side of the mug and then stood up. Coffee? Yeah. April sank into the seat across the kitchen table. He weirds me out sometimes. Sometimes? A lot of the times. Her mother put a black mug of coffee in front of her. April took it to the refrigerator to add flavored creamer. I mean, she said, I could tell he was getting weirder in those letters. I just didn't know how weird. He wrote down things in these conversations he had with Davy. Davy Hasslinger? Her mother clicked off the television. Yeah, Davy. It's like he still thinks that Davy is with us. The VA pays for counseling, doesn't it? He says it doesn't. April, said her mother. My baby. I wish you had better taste in friends. So, said Hector, now do you want to hear the dog story? They were in the back seat of his car parked at the edge of a field. Jesus, you shoot dogs, right? That's the dog story. There's only one dog, said Hector. The rest are puppies. Jesus, April sat up and put her drink down on the floor of the car. That's a joke, right? You're fucking with me. Hector shook his head. The glee that he had taken in the horror of his story drained away in the face of her disgust. I mean, it wasn't like the rat. I just did that. This was when we were out. The dogs were giving away our position, so we killed him. We didn't shoot them, though. I lied about that. It would have been too loud. He slumped forward, pressing his head against the back of the passenger seat. The possibility of his tears paralyzed April. Hey, whispered April. What? Hector clicked the dome light and turned to face her. He hadn't been crying after all. That's why I don't fucking write, he said. What good things were there to say? Even your worst news, I don't know how many times you complained about moving back with your mom. It was a joke. I couldn't take anything back here seriously. How could anything I say be real to you? Your letters had stickers on the envelopes. April swallowed. It surprised her that hearing something she already knew could still hurt her feelings. So, Hector continued, instead of writing letters, I talked to Davy. I didn't expect him to follow me to Afghanistan, you know? Like, it made sense that he would be here in America, made sense that he would track me to Paris Island, but I really thought when I got deployed that he would leave me alone. Did he ever ask about me? Hector snorted. He didn't say anything ever. That's why I could tell him everything. He was just there. Show him to me, April murmured. She wrapped her fingers around the armrest in front of her and squeezed it as hard as she could. How? Hector laughed a little bit. I mean, he listens to me, but doesn't do what I say. April closed her eyes and tried to picture Davy on the 4th of July. When she and Hector had painted his bald head red, white, and blue, she could only picture the three of them at 16. The fact that she and Hector had continued to age, the 21 had come and gone, was cruel as hell. It was as if their lives since had been a fever dream, the same way she pictured Afghanistan for Hector, as if it was something hallucinatory, something that a good therapist could all but erase. There, said Hector, pointing. Davy. April followed the line of his finger. There, repeated Hector. He's squatting on the hood of the car.
April squinted at the windshield. The tall grass swayed outside. "What does he look like?" she whispered. "He looks about our age. He's got hair. Started growing back just a couple of months after he died. He wears it long now. Not hippie long, but you know, video game designer long." April stared, trying to imagine this grown-up Davy so close, crouching in the dark and staring at them from a country of the dead. It was no use. Davy was still Davy to her, still young, still bald, still wearing that goddamn hospital gown. She scrambled between the two front seats to sit in the driver's side and press her palm up against the window. "Hi," she said, the single syllable as revenant as a prayer. She turned back to Hector. "What's he doing?" April asked. "He's got his hand pressed up against yours." The glass warmed against her hand. She was desperate for the heat not just to just be her own, for Davy to let her know that he was there. She closed her eyes to focus entirely on him, and just for a while, Hector was quiet. April didn't see Hector for 3 days. Davy failed to appear. She called Hector. "Come over to my place," he said. "How about some wine? Aren't you fancy? I've been drinking a lot of beer lately. I'm gonna get fat. Red wine is, you know, good for you. Tannins or whatever." April wondered who the hell had taught Hector about wine. She showed up a little late. Hector had started drinking. He didn't open the door when she knocked, so she let herself in, took a pint glass from the cabinet, and sat down across from him on a cardboard box full of books. The room reeked of pot. "Jesus," she snapped. "Don't suppose you saved any of that for me?" Hector giggled. "Sorry, I was with Mike after work. He wanted to smoke." He closed his eyes in a long, self-satisfied blink and smiled. "It was good. It looked good." April wanted to be far away from that world. "Tell me a story," she said. Hector was slow to reply. "I don't think I'm a good storyteller right now," he finished at last. "Tell me a story about Davy." "Why?" Hector's face closed up again. "Why do you always want to talk about him? That's all sad stuff. I just miss him." The wine tasted like something out of a clearance bin. "Yeah, well, he misses you too. He never says it, but I know. I don't know why he keeps haunting me when you're the only thing I think about." April closed her eyes. "Shit," said Hector. "I missed you." He tried to meet her eyes. "I miss you right now. You're high. I'm here." "So we're out on patrol, right? You know, there are these kids underfoot all the time. They never wanted money or candy or shit like kids are supposed to want from GIs. Hector was not so much sitting at April's feet as lying there, staring past the ceiling and into the stars 100 light years away. "These kids threw rocks at us. It was just me and Nunamaker. They weren't like cute little pebbles. They were like big fucking chunks of rock. And you're supposed to ignore them because you've got helmets and shit. You're just supposed to sit there. But they throw things at you and then yell. We used to shoot the ground to make them go away. We weren't supposed to do that either." April didn't realize how drunk she was until the room started to tilt when she scooted onto the floor. She lay down with her head next to Hector's, her body aligned in the opposite direction. He lit one of the cigarettes, took a long drag, and then passed it over. "This is a very short story," he decided. "In Iraq, we were some kind of liberators, but in Afghanistan, everyone hated us. And everyone fucking hated us. So me and Nunamaker threw some rocks back. I don't think I was aiming for them, but this one little kid fell down. Did you ever hold baby mice at school?" Eventually, April realized that he was waiting for an answer. "Yeah," she said slowly. "We had rats in fourth grade. We weren't allowed to hold the pinkies, though. In my class, we were allowed to hold them. One day, this really skinny girl dropped one, and it just shook and shook after that until it died. My rock did that. Hit a little boy on the head and he fell down and just convulsed. Oh my God, was he okay? I don't know." Hector's voice creaked but did not crack. "We just left him like that. Me and Nunamaker got the fuck out of there, caught up with everyone else.
We laughed. We kept waiting for the locals to come down on us about it, but we got reemployed before it happened. April was cold, like ice water starting at her toes and following her circulatory system to her heart. She had no idea what she was supposed to say or what Hector wanted to hear. "They were throwing rocks at you," she said finally. "We had helmets. We were wearing fucking Kevlar. They were kids." He was having a seizure. His voice was raw. April could not imagine the scene. Her Hector was safe in her imagined Afghanistan. There was nothing like the one he had actually inhabited. She looked over. "I miss you too." April reached a hand out, aiming for his face. He brushed her wrist and the tips of her fingers against his chest instead. Hector reached for her hand, then reached again and brought her palm to his lips. April stared around the perimeter of the room where the ceiling met the wall. Davy was nowhere to be found.